The following is a sponsored program paid for by First Alliance Credit Union. Welcome to Good Money Moves, featuring Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
It's time for Good Money Moves on News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. I'm Andy Brownell, and I am joined by Jenna Tobel, who is AVP of Marketing with First Alliance Credit Union. Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
Last week, the topic on Good Money Moves was refinancing your car loan. What's the topic this week?
Yes. Well, we have talked quite a bit about car loans the last couple of episodes, so I want to bring it back to some basics and talk about smart financial planning, which you're probably thinking that's what this whole podcast is about. So we're just going to dig back into the basics because I think it's really important that we really focus on maybe practical steps to start to build some secure financial futures for ourselves. So that means talking budgets, talking, you know, even starter investment strategies and the importance of building an emergency fund today.
All things needed for your future, which arrives far quicker than most young people ever realize.
Absolutely.
All right. This should cover a lot of ground, so I suppose we better get going. And well, I'll throw it right out there. We better talk about my favorite topic. My kids think I'm weird, by the way. Budgeting.
Yes. Yes. Your budget is the backbone of your financial plan. It is so crucial that you know where your money is coming from and where it is going. And the reason this is so crucial is because having a budget helps you make smarter decisions about saving and about your spending. So taking time to either create a budget for the first time or reassess your current budget is really a good start for conducting basically a financial health checkup on yourself. And to do this, it's very straightforward. Creating a budget is very straightforward. You list your income sources, whether that's from paychecks, side hustles, government benefits you might receive, and then tracking every expense. And you can do this by tracking it as it happens over a month or by looking back at your financial statements to understand where you were spending money. So this includes tracking everything from your rent, your credit card payments, your groceries, your gas, utilities, to even small purchases like you treated yourself to a coffee or a bubble tea on a Saturday, right? Those are the like every expense, because everything. Once everything, even the gum you bought at the gas station, like track it. And what this is going to do, it sounds daunting sometimes, especially if you've never done it before, but it can be so eye-opening. What creating and reassessing your budget does is it gives you a really clear picture, and it helps you then to categorize your spending into things that are essential or needs or non-essential, which are wants. So these are kind of two key categories. And once you do this, you're going to have a really, really clear understanding of all this money that you work hard for and at your job, and that you are trying to make do the things you want it to do. You're going to quickly find out how much of that is going to things you thought it was going to, and how much of it is going to feel either wasted in some cases, or you're going to realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm doing better than I thought. So this is a key starting point if to really understand your finances is to create and reassess your budget on a regular basis.
And I think initially, just the process of doing it makes you so much more conscious of how you spend your money. You start to look at, okay, this purchase is going to cost me essentially 3 hours of my work. Is it really worth it?
Yeah, that is a great way to look at it. That's a great way to break down your spending.
Or it could go the other way. Yeah, for sure it's worth it. But just to have that ability to put it in that kind of framework to make your spending decisions tends to cut down on your spending.
Exactly. You start to spend where you intend to spend and not where you're impulsed to spend.
Impulse. Great phrase. Okay. So what, this is where it's always, right, the debate begins. What budgeting methods are out there that we can use?
Yeah, there's no necessarily right or wrong way to do budgeting. And you can really combine several methodologies to get to somewhere that works for you. But I'm going to talk through two examples today. And I'm going to use an example of a young couple who came in and worked with our team recently, because I thought it was just, I think it's a common situation of how do you even get started with this? So they were both, they're younger, so both relatively new in their careers. They had professional careers, and they had a combined take-home income about $4,500 a month. They had some student debt, which is around $750 a month combined, two car loans for about $650 a month combined, utilities were around $200 a month, groceries were another $300. They lived in a relatively smaller one-bedroom apartment for about $1,200 a month. After they started tracking their expenses, what they found out, though, was that they were spending like $500 a month on like dining out and entertainment. And they're like, I'm not sure that's really where we want to be spending all that money. Some months they would have a little bit left to save, but it was not really a focus for them. And so they wanted to know, what's the best way to approach actually making savings a goal through, and budgeting is the way that they were able to do that. So
sure.
What our team suggested was what's called the zero-based budgeting approach. And this is where you allocate every dollar to a specific expense. So you're really ensuring that your income minus your expenses equals zero. This method is really there to help you account for every dollar you earn and every dollar you spend. This can be a really great way to start budgeting, because it forces you to pay really close attention to the nitty-gritty where you're spending your money. So let's say if our couple decided to use this method, any funds that did not go towards needs or wants would immediately then have to be allocated to savings or could be used to more aggressively pay down debts. So really the benefit of this method is the flexibility in making your income work towards your goals. And if your income changes, you can pretty easily adjust it month to month to match that. So that's one very common method.
That is the one.
It's very effective.
That's the one I use.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the beauty of it is, if you come to a month and the dollar amount that you spent, you allocated for whatever expense is less than what you actually spent or budgeted for, at the end of the month, I just tally that up in one column and plop it over here and put it towards either savings or debt reduction.
Exactly.
And sometimes it can be quite substantial. And then, of course, if that continues, then I end up adjusting the budget, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a really great, great tool. It's super easy to follow. You don't have to try to necessarily categorize everything. It's just, what did I earn? Where did I spend? Is there anything left? What am I doing with what's left? If I spent too much, where do I need to cut? What's something I can cut back next month? Another common approach that has become a little bit more popular as well is, and I think we've talked about this before on the show.
We have.
It's the 50-30-20 rule. And how this works is it's pretty straightforward too, and it actually hyper prioritizes savings and debt repayment, which is what I really like about it. So you allocate 50% of your income to your needs, needs being your housing, minimum payments on debt, food, utilities, insurance, those types of things that you have to have and you have to pay for it. 30% to your wants. So this is your dining, your entertainment, whatever whatever is not a need gets put here. 30%, that's not a small amount of money. Like, it gives you a lot of room to still have fun, and which I think is why people really like this method. And then the remaining 20% of your income is then put towards savings or aggressive debt repayment. This method is, it's very straightforward, and it really does help you balance your financial priorities while still leaving you room to have fun, which is always people's fear when it comes to the word budgeting, is that they're not going to get to have fun with their money anymore and it's going to become a chore, right? That's so this, so if, let's say our couple that we were talking about earlier decided to use this 50-30-20 rule, they would, and my math is generalized, it's quick math, so they'd be essentially allocating like $2,250 a month to their needs, $1,400 to wants, like $900 to savings or extra debt repayments. So you can see it actually is quite a significant different way to look at approaching what, where you're spending. I think the challenge most people see with this is keeping their needs in that 50% of their income, because especially if you have really high rent, or maybe you have a lot of, you, if you have a lot of debt, and because that minimum debt payments is in that 50%. So this is, this can be a challenging rule to live by, but it is super effective if you want to like really focus on your savings and building that up. So that's why I bring it up. Again, it really just, it, the categories are simple, and the, it really does prioritize savings, which is so important.
It's a bit less maintenance work to do, I imagine.
Yes. Yep.
To keep track of things. Okay. We have to take a break. My goodness, we're talking about smart financial planning today. And budgeting, of course, is the foundation of all of it. I'm sure we'll have some other topics along these lines to discuss when we return with more Good Money Moves on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good Money Moves continues in moments with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. We're talking Good Money Moves with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good Money Moves. I'm Andy Brownell. Jenna Tobel with First Alliance Credit Union is here. And we're talking about smart financial planning. We talked about getting the budgeting thing going, of course. Different methods of doing so. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a hypothetical, well, an anonymous couple trying to save money. Mm-hmm. I guess the question would be, what were they trying to save the money for?
Yeah, they were actually trying to prioritize building an emergency fund.
Good move.
Very good move. So it, and I think it's important to just talk a little bit about what that means for the, for our listeners who maybe haven't heard us talk about this important fund before. So an emergency fund is, it's your financial cushion for unexpected expenses like medical bills or car repairs or, you know, any other major financial situation that could happen, like a job loss. It prevents you from having to rely on credit cards or loans during a financial crisis in your life. So ideally, you want to have saved between 3 to 6 months worth of your income in an emergency fund. That's the goal. Now, this is not going to happen overnight.
No.
Right. It's, so I'm just going to give you an, for example, the couple that we were talking about, I mentioned before the break that their monthly income totaled $4,500. So their goal would be to save between $13,500 and $27,000. That's through, that would be 3 to 6 months of their income. So should one of them lose their job and it takes them 3 months to find one, they wouldn't have to turn to credit cards or loans to cover their expenses. They would have enough available that they could pull from that savings account should they need that. And again, it sounds like a lot of money, but it is achievable if you kind of budget for it and plan for it and make it part of your financial goals. So a really easy way to start building up that emergency fund and do it quickly without even having to think about it is to set up automatic transfers into a dedicated savings account for yourself. This way, a portion of your income is saved without you even having to think about it. And additionally, if you end up with any kind of windfalls throughout the year, whether it's like tax refunds or bonuses, use that money to boost your emergency fund instead of spending it. It can be really tempting to spend that because you feel like, oh, I've got all this like influx of cash. I want to go do something fun with it. And you can do something fun with a small portion of it, but you should save the majority of that for that emergency fund. And I think, you know, another key thing to talk when we're talking about emergency funds is making sure that you put that money in the right account to really work for you. So it's good, obviously, when you're just getting started, just put it in a traditional savings account to get yourself in the habit of savings. But once you've kind of saved up, you know, a couple thousand dollars, think about moving it into something like a money market account. A money market account is going to offer you better interest rates than a standard savings account. So it's going to help that money grow even faster. And the reason I say, you know, use a money market account instead of, you know, something like a CD is because you need your emergency fund to be liquid, which means you can easily access it. It can't be tied up in something like the stock market, because, and even though the stock market might get you better returns on your money, it's also very volatile. So you don't want to lose that emergency fund. You need it to be a safety net for you, and you need it to be safe from market risk. So that's why something like a savings account or a money market account is a really good spot to stick that. So these options, just they really offer that stability, a modest return, but still allows you to really grow your money and have it be readily available for those emergency situations. That's the key.
Excellent advice. And the beauty of it is once you hit that emergency fund goal, however many years it takes you to get there, the money that you were sending into it can be freed up and used for fun.
Yep.
At that point, or another goal you might have.
Exactly.
Okay.
100%.
So we're on a good footing here. We've got our budget set. We've got an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. What about planning for the future? That long dream that's millions of miles away of retiring or something like that.
Yeah, that's a really good question too. So I think this is where you have to start thinking about investing. And I'm going to just caveat this to say, I am not an investor. Investing comes with a wide variety of risks. So just make sure you're talking to experts. If you're thinking about investing your money, you want to make sure that you're making really good choices with that so that you don't lose significant amounts of money. But I think generally speaking, with investing and with saving money, even the earlier you start, the more time that your investments have to grow, which is what you want. So first, you do need to set really clear financial goals for yourself, short-term, mid-term, long-term. So, for example, the couple I mentioned early in the show might want to, once they've kind of had their emergency fund set in place, they might then want to start thinking about saving for a down payment on a house. If they plan to have kids, they're going to want to think about maybe putting away money for their children's education. They got to think about their retirement. Everybody needs to think about that. And using various savings and investment accounts is what's going to help you get there faster. Now, if you are new to investing, a really good way to kind of get started is to start with very low risk options like a CD, right? Much better interest rates typically on a CD than on your traditional savings accounts. But what it does is it locks up that fund, those funds for you. So you have to kind of start to become a little bit more comfortable with not having immediate access. So that's not as liquid. And once you're more comfortable with that and you know that you aren't going to have to pull those funds for something, right? You can start to explore things like stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Mutual funds in particular tend to be great for beginner investors because they pool money from many investors to buy kind of like this diversified mix of stocks and bonds, and then it's managed by professionals. So you don't have to sit here and try to figure out where you should be buying and selling. Like, that's why I say, make sure you're working with people who know what they're doing when you're doing this. But another key thing to really be thinking about, again, retirement accounts. These are essential for your long-term financial planning. This is what financial planning is, right? If your company that you work for offers a 401k, stick all the money you possibly can into that. It is a deferred tax account. And typically your job can just deduct your contributions straight from your paycheck before taxes. So it's not something you have to consciously think about. You just have to enroll. And because it's kind of that tax deferred, it reduces your taxable income and you only pay taxes on the money that you withdraw from it in retirement. So it really does actually potentially lower your tax rate, which is also a good thing. Again, I'm not a tax person, so if you have bigger questions on that, go find a tax professional. Another option too, when you're thinking about retirement savings, is things like Roth IRAs. These are funded with after-tax dollars, meaning that your money grows tax-free, and then the qualified withdrawals are also tax-free. So this can be really beneficial if you expect to be in that higher tax bracket in the future, which we would all love to make so much money, right? But yeah, you know, things to think about. There's options out there for you. So I think another, and this is a growing and area, you start to hear more and more about real estate investment. But it is an option. So we did kind of dig into this a little bit a few episodes ago, where you could use buying a home, right, is a great way to build equity and essentially grow your wealth. But you could also consider purchasing a multi-unit property, which just means it's four units or less, and living in one of those units and then renting out the others, which would significantly reduce your living expenses in a lot of cases. And you could potentially even live rent-free. And now if you're not paying rent or mortgage, that's a lot of money you could be stuffing away somewhere else, right? So this strategy is just kind of an idea to generate additional income, maybe provide some tax benefits. However, again, talk to a financial advisor, a tax expert, to really understand the implications of everything that we just ran through at lightning speed to really ensure you're making the right move for you, your goals, your finances, all of that. So,
okay. We have to take another quick break, and we're talking about making, smart financial planning is what we're talking about. And we'll return in a moment with more Good Money Moves on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good Money Moves continues in moments with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. We're talking Good Money Moves with Andy Brownell and Jenna Tobel from First Alliance Credit Union on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Good Money Moves. Jenna Tobel with First Alliance Credit Union. I'm Andy Brownell, and we're talking about smart financial planning, and we've talked about investing and budgeting. What about the debt side of the ledger?
Yeah, managing debt is so important for your financial future, for having financial freedom, right? High interest debt, like credit card balances, really are a drain on your resources. So I think it's important that if you do have debt, that you are actively developing and putting into action a plan to pay down that debt, and in the process really build up your credit so that you have a more solid financial foundation which to build on and move forward with. So you can really start this by prioritizing high interest debt. And we've talked before in past episodes about the debt snowball method, which focuses on paying off smaller debts first, and then you gain momentum To pay off bigger and bigger debts, right? While the reverse of that is the debt avalanche, this method really targets debts with the highest interest rates, and you get those paid down, and then you kind of avalanche on down until the debts get smaller and smaller. So to help make debt pay off faster, I would really, really recommend that you use one of the budgeting methods that we talked about earlier in the show, because they both really help prioritize that debt repayment. And then the extra cash that you end up with, because you've done an awesome job paying down that debt, you can put towards savings. So paying off debt and managing it well is just, it's so key for building good credit, which you'll need if you have goals in the future, like buying a home or a future vehicle. And really at the end of the day, keeping good credit is not hard, and keeping up with your bills doesn't have to be hard. It's just about paying bills on time, keeping your credit card balances low, and really avoid opening too many credit accounts at one time. So you don't want that debt to become unmanageable.
Absolutely. And once again, the foundation of all of this is that budget. Mm-hmm. So what else should our listeners know about smart financial planning?
Yeah, I think it just really boils down into having regular financial checkups to maintain your financial health. Like, you should never go more than a month without thinking about your finances. I think about mine all the time. Maybe that's because I work at a credit union, but I look at my account all the time. I want to know how I'm doing. I want to know how I'm progressing towards my goals. Am I on budget? Am I not? So really take time to review your budget, your savings. If you've got investments, make sure you're paying attention to those and understanding, am I on track for retirement? Am I not? What do I need to do differently? And then adjust your plan as needed. So especially after major life changes, like a new job or having a baby, you know, these things change your financial picture quite significantly. So, you know, for the couple we were talking about earlier, these checkups are going to ensure that they stay on track with their goals to build that emergency fund, or to maybe pay down student debt and then eventually saving for a home or planning for, you know, family. And I think another thing that we didn't really mention yet is this doesn't have to be something you do with paper and pencil. There are so many tools out there today that can help you do this and make it really easy to keep track of and create a budget. As a matter of fact, First Alliance Credit Union offers one. It's called My Money. It's within our online and mobile banking. It's free to use, but it can gather your accounts from other financials. You know, if you've got a mortgage one place, you've got some investments, you know, it pulls in your Zillow information about your home, all of that stuff into one spot. So you kind of have a really clear picture of your financial health, but it also helps you track your spending, create a budget. You can set savings goals and track your progress towards those. So it's a really robust feature within our online and mobile banking that can help you kind of do all of the things that we talked about today.
It is a really cool tool. Mm-hmm. I can vouch for that. That's for sure. All right. Great information. Where can I find out more if I want to do some smart financial planning?
Yes. As always, I encourage our listeners to visit our website, firstalliancecu.com. You can subscribe to our blog. We release new financial tips and advice there every week. You can listen to past episodes of this show at firstalliancecu.com/podcast or on kocnews.com. You can also subscribe to Good Money Moves on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And as always, I encourage you to reach out to our team at First Alliance Credit Union. We are here to help you start making good money moves today.
First Alliance Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender. This has been Good Money Moves. Jenna Tobel with First Alliance Credit Union. Thanks again.
Absolutely.
And we'll have another episode of Good Money Moves next week on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.